Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to St. James on this beautiful, not terribly humid Sunday morning. Please have a seat. We have a couple of announcements that I'd like to draw your attention to before we begin our service of worship. And the first is our school supply drive. As you may have seen in the slides today, there is a desperate need in some of our schools for different school supplies to assist students having the best education that they can. Laura Manius and others around the parish have decided to take this on as a project. And so if you wouldn't mind considering helping donate either items or funds to this school program, that would be wonderful. And the second announcement I have is more of a thank you, and that's to what we're calling the big group. It's not actually a big group, it's the building improvement group. And we've had a few people come around throughout the last couple of weeks and do some improvements to the building. If you've noticed, you're not tripping over the tiles as you come in out of the Bruce Street parking lot. That was taken care of by one of our wonderful parishioners. And so there is a new group showing up that's starting to help out by fixing things around the parish called the Big Group, Building Improvement Group. So big thank you to everyone on that helping out. And if there's somebody in there going like, hey, I'm pretty good with a chop saw, and I've noticed that something needs to be fixed, if you talk to Barb, we can get you on the Big Group. Then it will be a bigger group. Okay, with that terrible pun, I promise that's my last. Let's stand and worship God together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Spent away.
Lord be with you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, the people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring their sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in their marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I think it's a pretty good thing that we had a registered nurse read our first reading today. I've heard a lot of people get confused, stumble, and even giggle over the circumcision and the uncircumcision, and who is the circumcised according to the uncircumcision. And that's a lot of times to say that word in front of a very respectable group of people. So, well done. Now, despite this reading being a tricky one to get out in today's context, what it's actually saying to us is also very tricky. See, if there's one thing that I know about humanity, is that we like to divide ourselves up into groups, and we're really good at it. We can figure out who's us and who's them faster than you can imagine. You get a bunch of kids into a playground, and you'll quickly see who decides to get ostracized, who's not in the in-group. It's so ingrained in us. But what Jesus is telling us, and what Paul is telling us in our first reading, is that there is no outgroup. There is no them. There is just one people under God. And that is so hard. It's so hard to accept and understand. And on one level, it's fair. Color of the skin doesn't matter. Sexual orientation doesn't matter. We can get our heads around that. But it's when things that you think should go the normal way don't. That's kind of weird. My favorite example is when I first get to a new church and I ask how things are done, and everyone says, "Well, we do it the normal way." Well, let me tell you the most normal way that I ever saw. My parish in Regina, when I first got there, they had a tradition around baptism, that after the child was baptized, the priest would take the child away from the parents, the font was at the back of the church, carry the child all the way up, lay it on the altar, and bow down as a sacrifice before God. That's the normal way. I didn't do it the normal way. Now, from some purely academic theological perspective, I can understand why some people might think that that's a thing to do. And I can also understand from a practical point of view why that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Each one of us have the way that we like to do things. The parish that I grew up in was known as St. George's Crescentwood in Winnipeg. And there was a group that looked after the kitchen, and they were called the Dragon Ladies. And you did not mess with the Dragon Ladies. One time I tried to make the tang that they made after church a little bit stronger by sneaking in and getting some more powder and putting it in the jugs. Oh, that was a mistake. I angered the dragon. We all have ways to do things. We all have the right way to do things. And so when Paul is talking to the church about the circumcised and the uncircumcised, they're talking about that very thing. Most of the early followers of Jesus were Jewish. They followed the Jewish traditions. They worshiped on a Saturday. They kept their Jewish identity, their Jewish customs and traditions. But when Paul went to the Gentiles, there were a whole bunch of different traditions, a different way of doing things, a different concentration of tang to water. And there were frictions. There was trouble in the church. And Paul was addressing this. I think he would say the same thing to us today. Do we have the courage to let those who follow Christ in the way that's authentic to them? It might not always look the same as the way that we do it. It might not always be the way that gives us great joy or pleasure. One of the things that I learned very early on in my time as being a priest, one of my jobs was not to inflict my preferences on the congregation. Because if we did, we'd be doing Latin Gregorian chant all the time. But we all are here supporting each other. And let us work continually refreshed, continually reminded that each and every one of us is different from one another. We might all look the same. We might be from similar socioeconomic classes and things like that. But in our midst, there are people who think very differently from us. There are differences that are deep and to the core of who we are as individuals from the person sitting next to you, even if that person sitting next to you is your spouse. But it's in that difference that God builds the temple. God builds his church. All of us can't be the same, nor should we be the same. But the thing that should unite us is our love of God and Christ as the cornerstone of our lives. And let that temple be built around us. Let God be known through the love we have for each other and for the love we have for those who have not even entered our door. That is the work of being Christian. And it is work. It takes us time and time again to reflect on the things that we've done and where we've fallen short and ask for God's help. And by the grace of God, that help will be given. Let us continue to look at the world around us not as us and them, but rather as the children of God. Our brothers and sisters are citizens of the same heavenly country. And let our unity be a sign of God's presence with us. The fact that we're liberal, conservative, NDP, all of that pales in comparison to the fact that we are children beloved by God. Let us remember our own belovedness, and through that, the belovedness of everyone, and I mean everyone around us. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father. I would invite the congregation to assume a position of prayer.
Our response to the prayers is, we will sing praises to our God. Jesus, true shepherd of your people, you gathered your apostles round you. Draw your church close to you as it seeks to proclaim your name in the world. Refresh us in your life and love. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises
to our God. Jesus, true shepherd of your people, you break down the divisions of birth and creed. Unite all people under the covenant of your grace. May all hear peace announced to them. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
Jesus, true shepherd of your people, give rest to the weary and all whose work brings them to the point of exhaustion. We give thanks for places of renewal and recreation. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
Jesus, true shepherd of your people, look with compassion on all desperate for your healing touch, especially remembering Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Ashley, Gavin, Catherine, Judy, Carolyn, Don and Nancy, Dave and Beth, David, Helen, Stavros, Wendy, Wally, Sandra, Nikki, Jennifer, Ken, and Marilyn. Restore us in the promise of your kingdom. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
Jesus, true shepherd of your people, we lay before you all who have died. As you make us a dwelling place for you, so may we come to dwell with you forever. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have
sinned against you.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share that peace, Christ's peace, with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. God, accept our praise and thanksgiving. Help us in all we do to offer ourselves as true and living sacrifices through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the songs of the angels in heaven, as we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his
and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray, O gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. in the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ, and make them new, and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, as we are strengthened in these holy mysteries, may our lives be a continual offering, holy and acceptable in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, rest with you, and remain with you now and always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.